Welcome to Unlocking Words, the podcast where we dive deep into the fascinating world of English vocabulary, exploring words through their origins and making them easy and fun to learn for our Chinese listeners. I'm Chris, your guide on this linguistic adventure.
And I'm Rachel. It's always a pleasure to join you, Chris, and to share these insights with our amazing listeners. We're so glad you're tuning in today for another exciting session of linguistic discovery.
That's right, Rachel. Today, we're going to talk about words that describe what's going on around us, what people do to each other or to themselves, and how these actions and feelings are expressed. Get ready to unlock some truly powerful verbs that will enrich your English vocabulary.
Sounds exciting, Chris. I'm ready. Let's get started.
Our first word today brings us to a state of profound exhaustion, far beyond just being tired. Imagine this scenario: you've stayed up all night, not because you were doing something fun like playing poker or engaging in a stimulating discussion with friends, but because you were anxiously tending to a very sick family member or a dear friend. Despite all your efforts, the patient's condition is worsening. This long vigil, filled with worry and helplessness, creates immense frustration.
Oh, I can absolutely picture that, Chris. The emotional and mental drain in such a situation must be immense. It's not just physical tiredness from lack of sleep.
Exactly. The source tells us that psychologists have discovered it's not just work or effort that causes fatigue, but often boredom, frustration, or similar feelings. In this case, the frustration of seeing a loved one suffer, combined with the sleeplessness, leaves you feeling completely bushed. Your exhaustion is mental, physiological, and emotional. The verb that perfectly expresses the effect of such a night's frustrations on you is to enervate.
To enervate? That sounds like a very strong word for being drained. What does it actually mean beyond just being tired?
When you are enervated, it's not just simple fatigue. The source explains it as complete devitalization, physical, emotional, and mental, as if every ounce of your life force has been sapped out, as if the last particle of energy has been drained away. For our Chinese listeners, think of it as your jing qi shen, jing qi shen, your vital essence and spirit being completely depleted. It's a much deeper state than just lay after a long day.
Wow, that really captures the depth of the feeling. So where does this powerful word come from?
Its etymology is quite vivid. Enervate is derived from e, which means out, and the Latin word nervus, meaning nerve. So when you're enervated, you literally feel as if your nerves have been ripped out. It perfectly conveys that feeling of complete lack of vitality.
That makes so much sense, and it sounds like the opposite of energy, even though they look similar.
You've hit on a great point, Rachel. Despite its similar appearance to energy, enervation is almost a direct antonym. Energy comes from the Greek prefix en, meaning in, plus the root ergon, meaning work. This root ergon also gives us the word synergism, synergism, which describes the process where two or more substances or drugs, by working together, produce a greater effect in combination than the sum total of their individual effects.
Oh, like when different ingredients in a traditional Chinese medicine formula work together to enhance the healing properties.
Precisely. Or for a more cautionary example from the source, alcohol is a depressant, and so are barbiturates and other soporifics, which are essentially sleeping pills. Alcohol and barbiturates work synergistically, meaning the effect of each is increased by the other if taken together.
That sounds really dangerous.
It is. The source strongly warns against it, saying the combination, if not lethal, will do more to you than you may want done. It's crucial for everyone to understand such interactions. Now, let's move to our second word, which describes a different kind of intense action, often driven by frustration. Imagine you're driving late at night, a bit too fast on a deserted freeway. Suddenly, you see that flashing red light in your rearview mirror, then hear the low growl of a siren. You pull over, knowing you were speeding. The police officer approaches, and to your surprise, he's pleasant, courteous, and even smiles, asking for your license and registration politely.
In that moment, I'd probably feel a mix of guilt and embarrassment.
Exactly. The source says, you feel guilty and stupid, which quickly turns into irritation. So, what do you do? You lash out at the officer with all the verbal vituperation welling up from your self-anger. You accuse him of harassing innocent motorists instead of chasing violent criminals. You question his honesty, his ambition, even his family background.
Oh no, that's a classic case of misplaced anger. But what verb describes that kind of verbal attack?
The verb that describes how you reacted is to castigate.
To castigate? That sounds like a very strong scolding.
It is. Castigate is derived from a Latin verb meaning to punish. In present-day usage, it generally refers to verbal punishment, and it's usually harsh and severe. It's somewhat synonymous with words like scold, criticize, rebuke, censure, or reprimand. But it's much stronger than any of those. Think of it as rail at, rant at, slash at, lash out at, or tongue lash. These are much closer synonyms.
So, it's not just a gentle correction, it's a full-on, no-holds-barred verbal assault, right? Like when a strict teacher gives a student a public Buliu Qing Mian Di Shun Qi, Buliu Qing Mian De Shun Qi, a merciless reprimand for a serious mistake.
That's a perfect analogy, Rachel. The source gives an example. When candidates for office castigate their opponents, they do not mince words. To mince words means to speak cautiously or politely. When you castigate, you definitely don't mince words. You say exactly what you mean, no matter how harsh.
Got it. I hope I never have to castigate someone or be castigated myself.
Me neither, Rachel. Let's move on to our next word, which is much more constructive. Imagine you have just delivered a long and complicated lecture to your class. Now, to ensure that your students remember the important points, you want to bring everything together. You go back over the key ideas, the main thoughts, offering a brief step-by-step summary, omitting all the extraneous details.
Ah, this is something every student appreciates. A clear summary at the end.
Exactly. What verb best describes what you do in this situation? It is to recapitulate.
To recapitulate. So it means to summarize?
Yes, that's its primary meaning, to summarize or review the main points. It's a very common verb in academic or formal settings. But its origin tells an interesting story. The word recapitulate comes from the Latin word caput, capitis, which means head.
The head? How does head relate to summarizing?
Well, think about it. The captain is the head of a group. The capital is the head city of a state or nation. Latin capitulum means a little head, or by extension, the heading or title of a chapter. So when you recapitulate, etymologically speaking, you're going through the chapter headings again because re means again. For our Chinese listeners, this is like taking all the gang ling, the main outlines or guiding principles and reviewing them.
That's really clever. The head of the chapter, the main points. So when my teacher says, 同学们,我们来回顾一下今天的重点。同学们,我们来回顾一下今天的重点, students, let's review today's key points. They are essentially recapitulating.
Precisely. The concept of going back over the main points is universal. And speaking of head, the word decapitate, meaning to chop off someone's head, also comes from the same root. Though we hope that's not what happens when you summarize a lecture.
Definitely not. Any other interesting words from this head root?
Yes, one more related word is capitulate, which means to stop resisting and give up, often under prearranged conditions. Etymologically, it meant to arrange in headings, but its meaning evolved to arranging terms of surrender. So, if you were debating whether to finish a challenging task and finally decided to give up, you would capitulate to the difficulty.
From heads and summaries to surrendering, these word origins are truly fascinating.
Indeed they are. And now, for our final word today, let's talk about something we all seek. Relief. Consider aspirin. It doesn't cure any diseases, does it? Yet, this popular and inexpensive drug is universally used to lighten and relieve various unpleasant symptoms like aches, pains and fever.
Yes, aspirin is a staple in most households around the world, including China. It's great for taking the edge off a headache.
Exactly. The verb that expresses this action of aspirin, making symptoms lighter and easier to bear, is to alleviate.
To alleviate. So, it means to make something less severe or easier to endure?
That's right. If something alleviates your pain, it makes your pain lighter for you. If I alleviate your sadness, I make it lighter to bear. When you need some alleviation, a plea-vi-a-tion, for your problems, you need them made lighter and less burdensome. Importantly, the source notes that to alleviate is to relieve only temporarily, not to cure or do away with completely.
That distinction is key. It's like a temporary relief, not a permanent fix. So, where does the idea of lightness come from?
Alleviate is a combination of the Latin word levis, which means light, as in not heavy, and the prefix ad, meaning to. The ad changes to all before a root starting with L. So, literally, it means to make light.
That's a beautiful connection. And it's not just for physical pain, is it? Emotional support can also alleviate someone's sadness.
Absolutely. Simply listening to a friend's troubles, offering a comforting presence, can often alleviate their emotional burden, even if you can't solve their problem directly. This echoes the sentiment of sharing misery, which we touched on in other related words. The root levis also gives us other interesting words related to lightness. For instance, elevate, from e or x, meaning out, plus levis, means to raise up, like to elevate one's spirits, or elevate someone to a higher position.
Like an elevator that takes you up.
Precisely. And there's also levitation, levitation, which is when a person or object appears to rise in the air as if floating. That's the kind of magic trick that still baffles me.
Me too. What about lightness in a more abstract sense?
That brings us to levity, levity. This is lightness in the sense of frivolity, flippancy, joking, or lack of seriousness, especially when solemnity, dignity, or formality is required. For example, the source states that levity is out of place at a funeral, in a house of worship, or at the swearing-in ceremonies of a president. For our Chinese listeners, it's about understanding when it's appropriate to be lighthearted versus serious. Bu zhuang zhong, bu zhuang zhong. In a solemn situation.
Ah, so it's about context and appropriate behavior. Too much levity can be disrespectful. These words all connect so elegantly to the idea of light.
And that brings us to the end of another fascinating journey into the world of words. We hope you've enjoyed unlocking the meanings and origins of enervate, castigate, recapitulate, and alleviate with us today.
We certainly covered a lot, from feeling utterly drained to giving a stern talking to, summarizing complex ideas, and making burdens lighter. It just goes to show how rich and nuanced the English language is, especially when you understand its roots.
Absolutely, Rachel. Understanding the etymology not only helps you remember words better, but also deepens your appreciation for the stories behind them, making them stick in your mind more easily.
And remember, understanding words in context, like we did with our scenarios today, makes them stick much more effectively than just memorizing isolated definitions.
That's our goal here at Unlocking Words, to make English vocabulary an engaging and enlightening experience for all our Chinese listeners.
Join us next time for more linguistic adventures where we'll continue to explore the hidden depths of English words.
Until then, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep unlocking those words.
Bye for now.